These aren't the droids you're looking for.
These aren't the droids we're looking for.
Yes, they are.
Move along.
Move along.
Daddy, you're not even trying!
Baby, it is 165 degrees on this planet. I can't hear in this thing. I was just repeating what I thought the guy was saying. It's not like it's my own motherfucking thought in the matter, okay? Baby!
See? That's why I don't take my daughter to jack shit.
And now, transmitting to you from the only place that's hotter than Zach's bedroom, it's Mos Eisley Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 3 of Mos Eisley Radio. I'm one of your semi-fantastic hosts, Brooks Guthrie.
And I'm your other semi-fantastic host, Zach Brown.
Zach, you are full-on fantastic. I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm only feeling semi-fantastic tonight.
Though. Are you? Well, since we recorded last, you've been out to Colorado. You should be feeling super fantastic.
Actually, I'm feeling super fantastic from that Colorado trip.
Exactly.
I hiked my first 14er ever.
Oh, yeah?
It was my first attempt at a 14er, and I did, like, technically one of the harder ones you could do that didn't require gear.
Yeah.
So, it was cool. Hike Long's Peak.
That's cool.
And my friend was almost killed in the process on it, which was awesome. But,
fantastic. That's great. Yeah, I did like a 12.5 my junior year of high school, and that was a lot of fun. It was pretty brutal, though. It was because it was like shale, so you take like two steps up and then like fall like three backwards.
Which reminds me, you were an Eagle Scout, right? So you went to Philmont.
I am an Eagle Scout, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you...
Okay, so you are an Eagle Scout, but you did go to Philmont.
This is correct.
Okay, so like we're hiking up this mountain, and like the guy that was with us is an Eagle Scout as well, and he went to Philmont and had a belt on indicating that.
Yeah.
And he ran into another guy wearing a similar belt. And so they both start talking to each other. Well, my friend got altitude sickness on the summit of this mountain, and a storm rolled in at the same time, and basically it was taking forever for him to get down. And the number one way people die on this mountain is from lightning strikes.
Fantastic.
And so like basically this guy that we met up with was like, I'm an EMT, I can help you, and was like, here, let's do this. And so it was awesome.
That's good. Because, being stranded on a mountain sick and with, like, lightning and stuff is never any fun.
Yeah, but I don't think people tune in to listen to me talk about my mountain stories today.
Probably not. But even on that note, the past 2 weeks have been surprisingly light on Star Wars The Old Republic news. You know, we had the Comic-Con a few weeks ago, and I think a lot of people were expecting something big out of that, when in reality it was just kind of a lot of the same, which isn't a bad thing. You know, I understand that they're keeping things closed because they still don't have a lot of the game finished.
Yeah. And I kind of wonder too, they talk about how they've got all this stuff, at least ideas of what they want to do, and like in terms of development and things like that, but you kind of wonder how much of this stuff is really developed out beyond just what they are showing us.
I have a feeling that so much of it is actually already into this game that you know the developers are playing on a daily basis. It's such in like a pre extra ultra alpha phase at this point that, you know, they don't want to talk about it till it's finalized. And I'm 100% cool with that. I would rather know about something as it's finalized than have them tell me about it and 3 months down the road have it changed and be something completely different. So
it definitely doesn't help in this day and age when you have hundreds upon hundreds of news outlets and different media outlets that are just like chomping at the teeth just to get like some new information or something like that out there. So it's like any type of information seems instantaneous now, and it's like all news, even if it's like a week old, is old news anymore. So
I feel so bad for the developers and the PR people actually representing these people who go out and, you know, you have IGN, you have MMORPG, you have Massively, you have all these different people, and they're just doing the same interview over and over and over again.
Pretty much. I've been like cycling through all the different websites trying to find something, and it's like, well, this is pretty much what I read on the SWTOR website in the first place. So
yeah.
I don't know.
So I think our goal for this show is kind of like a blend of news from the Galactic Republic, which is, you know, these segments that we're trying to incorporate, as well as stories from the Outer Rim. So we had this IGN article that came out, or they conducted the interview about a week or so before Comic-Con, and they sat down with a couple people, Dallas Dickinson and Jake Neary, who either work for BioWare or LucasArts in some capacity. And I think we just got a couple different topics that we want to go over, yeah, that they alluded to.
Well, the thing is, they asked him a lot of detailed, well, I wouldn't say detailed, but more like specific questions on areas of the game. They pretty much got like, we don't really want to talk about that kind, yeah, of answers back.
It
was filled with that, like, yeah, this interview
was. It was like a 1-to-5 ratio of, here's a question we can answer, here's 5 that we can't. And yeah, again, totally cool with that, because the game really is so early on in its development.
Oh, yeah, and I totally understand that. I mean, from their point of view, they're trying to do something that's new. They don't want to give some company too many ideas of what's going on, so that way someone else doesn't like try to jump the gun on their idea and throw something out that's not near as good, but you know, throw it out there early, and so it just kind of like downplays the whole Star Wars, sure, storytelling revolution that they're just going on and on about, sure, with this game. So I definitely understand why we're not getting a lot of information, probably too because they just don't want to disappoint people, because it's like,
exactly,
when you give information, everyone takes that, they write that like off, like as it's gold, it's ready to go to the bank, you know, it's as good as money. And then when it doesn't happen, everyone gets pissed and they're just like, okay, you talked about this feature, you know, why isn't it in there? Or like, if you even brought up this idea, like, why couldn't you do it? You know? So I can understand why they're really hesitant to just give a lot of information out right now.
Yeah. You know, one of those features that people have been asking about a lot and is a staple in any RPG or MMORPG is healing. And this was one of the few questions that they actually could give an answer about in this IGN article. And basically what they ended up saying is, as we've already known, that this game can be played completely solo, or you can incorporate group play however you want, and there's going to be some degree of PvP. But basically, there's going to be a couple of classes. They haven't decided which, or I'm sure they've decided which, they haven't told us which, that are going to have to some degree specific healing powers. And then beyond that, a couple of classes will have, like, you can think of it as like talent trees or something like that, where they can pursue healing even further. And that's extremely vague, very cryptic, as they said. So
yeah, I mean, he does say several of our classes we'll have healing branches that players can follow to have more specific healing powers, like you said. So it is like the first indication that there's going to be some type of variety in these classes other than their core mechanics. I guess when you think about it, I don't really know, other than a Jedi, what type of role in Star Wars. I mean, they could have a straight up medic class, but I think that would be kind of lame, to be honest. Just because that archetype in Star Wars just doesn't. There's so many cooler things to be, like a bounty, exactly, hunter or a smuggler, or I'm sure there is someone out there that was like, oh yeah, I'd love to be the healer, I'd love to be a medic all the time. But I mean, to make the game very simple, very clean cut, and to have just like a slim amount of classes that they can really focus on and balance those out nicely, I mean, no one's really going to want to play, I feel like, at least a medic or like some type of class that's just straight up like that.
That's the other thing too, and you know, with the way that the classes are going to work this game, while everything's going to balance each other out, I think we can pretty much assume that at this point that there's going to be 4 unique classes on each side. Mm-hmm. So you're not going to, they're not going to have a medic class, because they would have to have, you know, only one group of people gets a medic. That doesn't really work. So I think one of the questions I'd like to pose to you is, you know, the obvious choice for some kind of healing is a Jedi. What would you see as possible healing abilities on like a smuggler or a bounty hunter or a trooper or something like that?
I could see like some type of ability with a bounty hunter or a smuggler where they could call in like a drone, let's just say, or they toss like a little medic drone out or something like that, and it'll fall around and heal people. for maybe like a minute or something like that. And then it like the power drains or something. So it's only like, let's just say it's like a minute long ability to where it'll just like randomly heal people over time. I mean, there's different ways you could heal people. Sure. You could have just like big instant heals. You could have heal over time spells. I could see someone having like, oh, I don't know how you would incorporate it in terms of story, but like an aura that would replenish health over time.
It could be like a Jedi ability, but again, it's just kind of...
It's very possible they could take the Guild Wars approach to where you do heal when you're outside of combat, like, or in combat, based upon like what your different abilities are or things like that. You might heal faster. So it's like you're constantly replenishing health. It's just a matter of how much are you replenishing.
Yeah, I could see like a trooper, you know, this military leader kind of giving you some kind of like confidence boost or, you know, like rejuvenation aura, mm-hmm. you know, that says you for this given period of time regenerate health faster.
Yeah. You know, like, and I mean, I could see like a bounty hunter too having like something on him that would just like, you know, put some type of signal or like everyone in some type of atmospheric bubble to where if you're inside that, you heal faster.
Yeah.
But the thing I think that's interesting about this is like, at least with other MMOs that I play, I tend to find like I'll play the tanking role or the healing role, but like I only do that just because I know I'm guaranteed to find people to play with if I'm
right.
If I am playing that role. But like realistically, all I want to do is deal damage.
Yeah.
You know? And so, like, when it comes down to it, and you look at this game, it's like, that's what I want to do, and I really hope that they design this based around where I can heal people on the side, but, like, my primary focus is, you know, kicking butt and taking names, not having to worry about, oh, I got to keep this guy up or this guy up or this guy up, and then when the battle's all said and done, you're like, well, yeah, I was totally healing, you know, I was back there in the corner just healing it up the whole time, and then, like, you know, your partner's like, well, yeah, I had my lightsaber out, and I was slicing the dice, and I was up, you know, doing all the in all the action and all that, and I just don't want to be that guy.
Yeah.
And I feel like a lot of people can relate to that.
Absolutely, and I think the discussion about healing blends very much with the discussion of raids that we want to have. You know, I get the impression from the developers and all the ridiculous amount of interviews that we've seen that have been cryptic up to this point, but even from those, we can glean the fact that we're not going to be sending, at least from my opinion, we're not going to be sending 25 people to fight a single guy. We're not going to have a tank standing up front that needs to be having constant heals. And, you know, if you don't get this heal off in this one time, then the whole thing is screwed. You know, I just don't see them doing that with the emphasis on story and this epic, faster-paced combat. You know, they've said explicitly they don't want to have you just standing there toe-to-toe, like, whacking the other guy with your sword. So
yeah.
They've alluded to this concept that they want to do healing in a new and interesting way, which they haven't given us any details on. But I personally see healing as more of like a heal over time kind of thing, you know, instead of these.
Well, it could be something too as simple as like how KOTAR is, where you've got your basic med packs.
True,
you know, and,
yeah.
And basically you can put points in KOTAR into your healing ability, and like the more points you have whenever you use a med pack on someone else or yourself, or in the case of a droid, a repair kit, it's going to give them way more hit points back in return, mm-hmm. versus if you were to do it with 0 points in that.
I do see it being more elaborate than that, though, in a lot of respects, you know, where we have specific abilities for classes that are designed around healing, mm-hmm. instead of just a singular med pack,
like in KOTOR, you basically are a one person, you're one class, and you can kind of branch off from that. I mean, everyone's basically like this Jedi, ex-Jedi kind of figure that has force powers, and no matter how you play, you've still got like all the same abilities to choose from and stuff like that. So yeah, you're right. Everyone, each class is going to have a unique view, unique abilities based upon, you know, whatever the playstyle is going to be. So I can see what you're saying. I do agree with you. I bet it's going to be something a little bit more elaborate than just a med pack. But I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if like that's how it's adopted for, let's just say, the trooper. Just
sure.
Because that kind of seems like how a trooper would react. You know, oh, you've got a battle wound, bust out the med pack and let's He'll feel that right now.
And you know, if you want to take a more traditional MMO viewpoint, you know, you could compare the med pack to, you know, like your generic health potion or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got
that's true.
And then, you know, I could see, you know, maybe like the smuggler making bandages for people and, you know, passing those out, and you know, maybe you can't use those in combat like you can, you know, like similar to every other MMO. But you know, if you could see like a Jedi having like a specific healing ability, what do you think they would like be drawing from? Like, what do you think that ability would do?
Well, the Jedi of all the classes, I mean, it's really hard to speculate this not knowing what the other classes are. But like, I would picture a Jedi to just kind of be or have the ability to just do big mind healing type techniques on someone. Kind of like how it is in the actual KOTOR game, where you just target someone and you heal them,
right?
And it just gives them a boost, or it's possible like it could just be like a whole morale thing, where it's kind of like you don't even have health. I know Lord of the Rings Online's kind of similar to this.
I'm pretty sure we do though, from the gameplay footage that we saw from the last video. We have some kind of health bar, you know. But I get what you're saying with this concept of morale.
I think if anyone's going to have like a big direct heal, kind of like you click this character and you click this heal button and it's like a big instant heal, I think I would see the Jedi branching off into that.
That's true.
But it's kind of interesting them talking about just the idea that you would branch off into a healing tree or some type of healing, I guess, secondary talent, because this is kind of like the first indication of how each individual class can become something more unique than just a smuggler.
Yeah, you know? They've got plenty of experience with that with their past games like Baldur's Gate and all that kind of stuff. You know, where you're this class primarily, but you also have like this subclass or like subset of abilities. And so maybe you're a Jedi who specializes in healing, or maybe you're a trooper who specializes in combat medicine. You know, something like that.
Yeah.
This concept of talent trees is interesting, and you know, it's one that we've seen a lot of other MMOs, but again, they've just kind of barely alluded to it at this point, so there's really no knowledge to be had about it.
Yeah.
But going into the other thing that we wanted to one of the other things we wanted to talk about was this concept of raids. We had somebody on our site, his name is Christian. They specifically said that they don't want to see 25-man raids like we have in World of Warcraft. And to be honest, I don't really know how it works in games like Warhammer and Conan and stuff like that. Their idea was like, say using the example of this Republic ship that we've seen in all the demos and stuff, you know, say you have a group of 25 people, and 5 people have to go up to the deck and handle the situation there. 5 people have to fight their way down to the docking area or whatever, where these people would be coming in to attack. You know, 5 people have to go and guard the light speed engines or whatever, you know. So this concept of you're not sending 25 people at a singular boss to do something, or like a boss and a couple of adds, you know, you're sending people in realistic mission type concepts in littler groups to achieve a bigger bigger mission.
I mean, I like that idea. I think that would be kind of a unique spin on the way you could pool 25 people together and complete like a big mission or something like that. The only thing I think that kind of I worry about that on the surface is, it kind of would lose the whole thing that with the 25 man. Just the only thing with the massive raids that I like, that's really unique and it brings to the table that really splitting it off won't, is the fact that I just love this massive scale battle that you're a part of. And like, and nothing else would really capture that other than being able to go fight. There's nothing more epic, in my opinion, than you fighting this really powerful being and it's taking like 20, 15 people to fight them. Whereas, I mean, you could do it on a smaller scale. And yeah, it's fun, but it's not the same as when it's like you do that same thing with 40 people or 50 people or something like that.
Yeah, but I think in Star Wars you have to come at it from a different angle, because you know they've talked about how they want you to be a hero in your own story. And so, you know, you're the guy that it would take 3 or 4 people to take down instead of the other way around, you know? So,
well, not necessarily true. I mean, they're going to have villains.
Well, yeah.
And I think key characters that are going to be in this game that are going to be notorious for being evil or, you know, whatever they're doing, something diabolical. And so basically, they're going to, I would imagine that these characters are going to be really hard to kill. And not just because they're the big bosses, but in terms of story, they're going to be like the head figures. And based upon the video that we talked about in our last podcast, the I forget what it was titled, but the one basically talking about all the sound detail involved in this game and stuff like that, there is actually a shot where they're fighting a Jedi Knight, and the Jedi Knight, it says boss in parentheses. And so, like, I'm pretty sure they're going to have stuff like that, to where it's all going to probably depend on however their party system is set up or in play. But, you know, I want that. Like, I can understand why people don't want that. They don't want to feel like that they're missing out on a huge chunk of the game because they don't want to put a time or have like a massive time sink in their life just to be a part of it. Like, I'm not necessarily saying it has to be like that, but I really want there to be this really powerful either light Jedi or dark Jedi that you want to go fight depending on whose side you're on. And the only way you can really do that is by teaming up together and going and doing it. Or let's say there's a giant beast you got to fight, like a Rancor or something like that, which I don't know. I mean, Luke Skywalker killed it by himself, but
yeah,
even then it's kind of like one of those things. It's like, it'd be cool just to have a beast like that that you would have to all party together to kill or bring down. Or if there was a gigantic machine, let's just say. Like, there was, like, some type of walker somewhere as, like, a boss for the final level. And you all had to, like, work on fighting it together. Like, the one boss. You could have one group. I mean, you could break it off and have people fight different sections. Mm-hmm. But, like, you'd all still be working on the one boss. But I do like the idea where you go and do a mission and it's like, okay, this group run over here and defend this spot. This group run over here and take this spot. This group run over here and take this spot. It feels like a massive battle going on, and like you're all part of squad within that massive battle. I do like that idea. I'm not saying I wouldn't like something like that in the game. I am a fan of the big massive raids, and I hope that they find a way to stick it in with some tech.
Yeah, I mean, bringing kind of those two opposing viewpoints together, I could see something along the lines of, you know, you're going to attack, say like a Sith ship, and, you know, you've got to have, it's this big long mission. Say it takes you like 2 hours to complete this mission that you've got to sit in on. And, you know, you've got that's a extremely incredulous estimation of time, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, you say you've got 15 people, and you know, you've got a group of five people who need to go do one thing, a group of five people who need to go destroy the engines, and a group of five people that needs to go disable the escape pods. And then once all those things have been done, those are kind of like individual objectives within this bigger mission, then you like all head up to the bridge and take on like this thing.
Yeah.
Like I could,
that would be kind of cool. Yeah,
I could really get behind something along those lines, kind of blending this traditional concept of a whole bunch of people getting together to take down a boss with this individualized, segmented mission concept in like a bigger raid in quotations setting. I could get behind that.
And force people to where they would have to branch off and go and accomplish it as like a sub small group of like five people or something like that. Yeah, I could get behind that too. I think that'd be a unique way to approach it. You know, something that's in City of Heroes that's kind of different, I guess, is the fact that they allow users to create their they allow users now to create their own missions.
Oh, really?
Like, I gotta get all these things. Okay, they're called missions in City of Heroes, okay. or like task force missions, and so like basically, like someone could design their everything they wanted, all the bosses and stuff like that, and then people can go and play through. I was wondering, do you think that would be something that they could BioWare could incorporate into this game? You think it'd be successful, or do you think that would be something that would potentially be more harmful than good? Because
I think
people might create cheap missions or like cash cow missions where you gain massive amounts of XP easily. And
yeah, I'm not totally sure. I think it depends on the scale of these missions too. You know, I think it was in the IGN article. I could be wrong, but there was an article, or there was a question they ask about like player bounties. Like you're a bounty hunter, and some other player character has a bounty.
I remember reading
on their head. I think that's interesting. I think that it would have to be initiated by an NPC. So say your player character did something in the game world that pissed off a hut, and now some other bounty hunter can come along and take you out.
I don't think that's how it would play out. Is more of less, let's say like you're a smuggler and you're like hassling a bunch of Sith Empire players, and you hassle one rich guy to the point where he's just like, okay, anyone that can go and take this guy out or do something that's going to be harmful to this guy in the game, or like you have to complete this like series of events, you get this amount of money. It's like there would be like an auction house, but not.
Yeah, I was looking at it from the standpoint of something that would be implemented into the game with NPCs. But yeah, some kind of like a player like back alley like dark corner of the cantina kind of thing and you know, this could be something that pops up in an unofficial fashion. You know, I remember early on in Guild Wars, they had this whole like gambling thing that had to get outlawed. And
yeah,
and, you know, like I could see,
I mean, that's a whole nother can of worms.
Oh, like, I know.
They need to have some type. Like cantina is like, when you think of Cantina on Tatooine, you know, you think of like all of these guys. I mean, gambling is just like such a big deal of
It's in KOTOR too. Yeah. I mean, it's in the canon all over the place.
Yeah. So I definitely, I can't believe I forgot what the name the card game is that we play. It's like Sapphic.
I'll look it up. Keep talking.
I can't believe I forgot that. But I mean, like, yeah, I mean, like, that's a part of the universe, and they really should put a system in play that is going to allow players to go and gamble in-game and make money or, you know, lose money potentially to other players, things like that. Like, because people want to do it, so they need to put a system in where people can do it, and it's okay. I understand why there was, like, in a lot of the games in the past, you know, it was just kind of like a person standing out on the in the city somewhere, and they were like, you know, you got to roll if you get a such and such number or higher.
Exactly.
And you triple whatever you wager, but if you lose, then I keep what you pretty much bet. And the reason why that ran into a lot of problems is because people would give them the money up front, and then they would never give them their winnings back, and there's nothing you can really do to stop that. So I'm sure it's easy for them to incorporate some type of gambling environment. But yeah, like you were saying, you could go to a cantina, or going back to the bounty hunter thing. You know, you could. There could be any number of ways you could get a bounty on your head. Like you said, whenever you go and let's say you complete a big mission against that, like damages the reputation of the huts or something like that, or hurts their infrastructure. You know, you could slowly, gradually build a bounty up on your head to the point where, anyone that kills you in PvP might get that bounty.
Yeah,
and that would kind of give incentive to world PvP, which is. Sometimes a struggle with games, sometimes it isn't.
Yeah. The game you were thinking of, by the way, is Pazak, PAZAAK, which actually started around like the Mandalorian Wars. But I like this concept of, you know, like say as a way for bounty hunters, and this could work for smugglers too in another fashion, but say like you're a bounty hunter and there's like a certain cantina that you can go to and kind of hang out. And players who've been having trouble with a certain other player can come up to you and say, hey, I'll give you this much money to kill this guy. And, you know, we don't have this concept of permanent death. You know, they've said that you're not going to have permanent death, but they are going to have some kind of death mechanic that's different from, you know, the 800-pound gorilla in the corner of the room standing going, World of Warcraft. But, or like, say you're a smuggler and you go to a canteen and you'll say, I can move this to here for this price, and you get like a certain cut of it. You know, like implementing some kind of.
The one thing I mean, I like the idea that you could do something if you're a smuggler, but I really hope if they put these mechanics in the game, you're not limited to just being able to do that if you play that class.
Yeah, that's true. To a certain degree, you have to have like these traditional things that these people would do in the world. Uh-huh. You know, I don't know. Again, I highly doubt that any of this would be in the game, but it's fun to speculate about
stuff we'd love to see.
Yeah, yeah.
We get carried away a little too much
sometimes.
But the important thing, like when you think about all this stuff, is pretty much how is everything going to be grouped together? When people party, how's the party system going to work? And when you look at the KOTOR games now, companion characters are a huge factor in how you complete the story, how you get through the missions. And the fact that you get to choose who tags along with you and you can customize who tags along with you is what makes like the companion characters so key in the KOTOR games now. So this past week and a half, this is something we've been talking about on the site, and I guess this is a good transition into that. Yeah. And we had this poll. I don't know what the numbers are.
I proposed this poll on the site. I was like, do you think companion characters will work in the MMO setting? You know, obviously they worked great in KOTOR. They helped along your story. They progressed who you were. They had their own unique stories within themselves, and they opened up new quest lines for you. You know, Bastila in the first KOTOR played a huge part of your story. So,
Bastila.
Yeah.
I don't know. Wait, you can like correct me or stop me if I've told this story already on here, but like, I think I have told this story.
I may have cut it out, actually.
It was like the first time I played KOTOR, I got Bastila to come back to the light side, and she like wanted me, and I was like, yeah, life is good. And then my Xbox froze, and then I could never get it to happen.
Right,
after that.
Right. Such a loser. But as far as this poll, I propose three different answers. You know, yes, companion characters will further the story and help my character progress. No, I don't care about some NPC that wants to tag along and, you know, like pull my tail and be like, hey, watch me, listen to what I have to say. Like every JRPG ever.
Navi.
Yeah.
From Zelda.
Exactly. And the third option was undecided. Companion characters could be an interesting game mechanic. We were basically split down the middle. We had 21 people vote, which, you know, I'll take that side traffic. That's fantastic. 11 said undecided. 10 were all for companion characters. What do you say, Zach?
Well, it's one of those things where I guess I'm undecided just because I don't know enough about how the game's going to work just yet. But based upon how like KOTOR worked, well, see, here's the thing. Like, are you going to be able to do things? When they say you can complete this game so like as a solo character or by yourself, I guess you would say, do they really mean you're solo or do they really mean you're...
I think we have to assume that you have a companion character along with you for that solo.
Yeah. So that kind of creates the issue, I guess. Like if you're doing a group thing, I mean, will that kind of take away from the game? It all depends on how good the AI is, because it's like, I don't want someone jumping in and being a part of the party and then just leaving. And then it's like, oh, I'm back to an NPC again. And then all of a sudden someone else jumping in and being a part of the party. And then it's like, oh, I'm back to an NPC again, to where it doesn't really feel like there's much of a difference between a computer player and a human player being there.
Uh-huh.
That makes sense.
We had two replies to this post, both basically going to the extent of, you know, it would be really cool if you can say you're doing a mission that requires five people. Say you're going to go kill Hogger and you need five people to do it. And you can only find, for whatever reason, you can only find three. And two of you have like these sweet companion characters who you want to pop out and have be another part of the group. So you go along and you're going to go kill Hogger, and you get up there and your companion characters are doing a sweet job, but your friend pops on who you haven't talked to in a while and he needs the quest too. He can just kind of like sub into the group and one of those companion characters goes away. Like, I don't know. Like, I can see that being convenient. I'm not sure how it would be implemented in a way that just doesn't feel really awkward.
Well, see, I kind of think of it, if it were going to work, it'd be something like along the lines of Guild Wars, to where before you leave, you can choose.
You've got to dedicate
your party.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I like that idea or not. I really like the seamless environments where you can transition from city to outside the city to wherever you want to go, and like anyone can come up and be a part of your party at any point in time, or they're not be. Well, it's going to have to be like that if there's world PvP.
Uh huh.
Which they've kind of hinted at. I mean, like I said, we don't have a lot of information yet, but if they are going to have world PvP, then that means people from the opposing faction will have to be able to interact with people from the other faction at any point in time in the game. And for that to happen, that means then like the environment's going to have to be something like, not like how Guild Wars is basically set up. Because like in Guild Wars, when you leave the city, you're kind of like on your own. I mean, It's been a while since I played it, so I could I could be wrong on that. But when I played it at the time, you would choose who you wanted in your party, who you wanted to tag along with you, at the cost of an XP drain, might I add. Because if you had three NPCs in your party and yourself, you got less XP than if you were just out there doing it by yourself. But which nobody really likes that. I know it is easier, but they ought to just, if they're going to set it up to work to where you need to have groups at all time, then you might as well just not penalize you for being in a group.
Mm-hmm.
And they need to do more to encourage that. But going back to what I was saying, it could be one of those things where like you choose what you want before you go out. And if you run into other people, they could replace that role or kick someone out of the party and then computer out and they will replace that role. But then I see what you're saying to where it's like you have your companion characters, and if you can't find someone, you can just bust it out at any point in time. I guess
that would be cool. But like what I think they'll really do is have like group play and like your companion character be two completely different aspects of the game. You know, maybe the quests that you'd go on could kind of be influenced. I really have no idea. They worked so well in KOTOR.
But it's a single player
exactly.
game.
Exactly. So once you factor in this concept of you're working with other people to do quests, but like, are you doing a quest based on someone else's companion character? Or do you have influence on, you know, there's just so many what ifs at this point that they haven't showed us at all that I'm hoping, you know, within the next month, I think we're going to have like a live demo play at GamesCon or something like that.
To be honest, the more I think of it, I mean, I'm undecided because they could show me something that could completely sell me on companion characters and I'll be like, oh man, they're going to be great. But to be honest, I wouldn't be completely opposed to just being you by yourself and, you know, you just party with other people. Especially like since they're not coming out, like we were talking about with the healing, there's probably not going to be just like a set healing class. So it's not like you're going to form a group based on needing a healer mm-hmm. or needing a tank
so you can just have like another random person that's there.
That's kind of how I pictured, that's how I would like it, I guess.
You know,
I mean, I don't know if
like a lot of the answers to the questions they're being asked, you know, they're kind of like stock, and again, I understand the viewpoint, their kind of stock answer is if you've played some other BioWare games, you kind of understand how things are going to work.
So
I think walking away from this, like the biggest thing that we can understand is that to some degree, companion characters in The Old Republic are going to play out like they played in KOTOR. Just the really confusing specifics are going to be when it comes to like group play and, you know, whether.
See, the thing I don't want is obviously the AI companion characters will not be as good as having an actual person there. Like, yeah. I just don't think it will. Otherwise, it can't be, because if the AI is better than having a human there, there's no reason why you would ever want to party with people other than just for the sake of being with your friends.
Exactly.
So that's why part of me doesn't really see companion characters being anything more than just if you absolutely have to have some more people partying with you and you can't find anyone, you can stick this in and it'll help get you through it. But like you can't depend on that. That's why I don't think, I don't really see them like making it to where you've got these characters that you can gear up on the side. And then they can just kind of like come out and do stuff with.
Yeah, I think there has to be this difference in the way we look at companion characters between like having like a pet, say you're like a hunter class and you had a pet who would kind of help you with combat, as opposed to like, I don't know, say you're in a game and there's like this character who keeps popping up at, you know, specific times in the game and they have their own story and, you know, you go on quests with them and their allegiances change and stuff and you can try to make them fall in love with you and then your game crashes and they don't, you know, like,
yeah,
I'm hoping they implement it in that latter fashion, not this like hunter pet who's there just to kind of like add damage. And I know they won't do that with,
or just cast basic heals over time,
because
or something like that.
Every damn interview that they've talked about, half of it has been story, and you can't incorporate a a companion character that's just there to add damage. That's just not what they're going to do.
Yeah.
So, again, hopefully with this live gameplay footage that's going to... I think it's going to be at GamesCon. I could be completely wrong. Maybe it's at the PAX event.
They'll probably have some at PAX. I wouldn't be surprised.
But I know there was a forum post saying that there's going to be like a live gameplay footage coming in the next couple of weeks. I'm really excited to see what that's going to be, because you know we've seen the demo of the mission on the ship with the captain that you have to help make a decision, you know, whether or not you're going to kill him, and that's cool. But I'm really hoping for something new at this point. So I want to pose this question to you: if there's one thing, like one detail of this game that we don't know about that you could see at an upcoming convention, what would it be?
Oh man, like one thing that I want to see that we don't know about.
It could be anything, like new planet, new class, like a gameplay mechanic, anything.
Well, like obviously the new classes and planets, I want to know what those are, but like I would really like to see what they plan on doing with space travel and like how it's incorporated with the game. Is it something that you just go to a spaceport and then you kind of get on a ship and it just kind of has a cutscene and goes from one planet to the next? Or is it something like you actually get in a physical ship and go do? I'm really kind of excited to see how space travel works. And so I don't know. I think that's what I'd like to see more than anything. You know, if there's combat, that'd be awesome. If you could actually smuggle stuff from planet to planet, that'd be sweet. If you could like hunt people down that are smuggling stuff and take it, that'd be cool. But you know, I don't know if that's even stuff they're going to touch on at this point in the game or not, or is it you just go to the spaceport and tell them where you want to go and then you just kind of end up there?
I think the biggest thing for me, and space combat and space travel is super sweet, and I'm really interested to see what they're going to do with that, and obviously new classes and planets and that kind of stuff. I think the one thing that's confusing me most at this point that they've just kind of like pussyfooted around and said, here's what stuff is going to be, is group play. You know, like, they're a...
like what we were just talking about.
Well, basically, yeah. And all aspects of that. You know, they're a company who, up until now, has basically made single-player games. Mm-hmm. And they have all these concepts that are really cool, but they all, like, are kind of geared towards single-player games. You know, we saw, like, on that gameplay video, like, you were with one other person. Is that how groups are going to always be? Or are you going to be with, like, 5 people? Are you going to be with, like, 10 people? You know, you're doing these missions that affect your, like, light or dark side orientation. You know, like,
you saying that even brings up another thing with me, which I've hinted at. I didn't mean to cut you off. I've hinted at in the past. I'd like to know, I guess, how is taking a dark path... Okay, I'm going to take my spaceport back. I want to know this more, and I don't know why I didn't even think of it. I really want to know why, if I'm playing as a Republic trooper or someone for the Republic Empire or Galactic Republic, why does it matter if I go good or bad in terms of my choices whenever I encounter any type of like choice in the game? Because I kind of feel like in the past, you made those choices based upon if you wanted to be good or bad. You weren't really part of like the Republic. You were just like a Jedi finding your way. You know, if you're playing for the Sith, why would you want to be good? Why would you want to have like a forgiving personality or do things that are right, stuff like that? And I want to see like what their spin on it is. Cause I mean, I can think of reasons why you'd want to, but I want to see what their spin on that is. And if you were playing for the Galactic Republic, why you'd want to be bad. You know, and so part of me wants to believe if you're playing for the Republic and you go bad, you end up on the Sith. Or if you're playing with the Sith and you go good, you end up on the Republic. But I don't think that that's how it's going to work. So I guess that's what I'd like to know more than anything.
So I think it would be awesome if after we post this show, either on the comments or in the forums, which, Zach, you've done some work on, kind of post both what you think we're going to get out of these two things. So what you think group play is going to be like, and what you think about like this whole light side, dark side thing, as well as like maybe other things that you want to see at like PAX or GamesCon or something like that.
Yeah.
Of course, that's what's all over the official forums at this point, but I'm going to be honest, I don't have a whole lot of time to wade through all of that stuff.
Oh, I know.
So,
yeah.
So I would.
I try to go through that as much as I possibly can. I wish I could go through it more. And then I find a forum post. And I'm like, oh, I want to respond to this. And like a half hour later, I'm finished up my like response. And I'm like, man, I don't have time to just like respond to everything. I'd love to do stuff like that.
So I would absolutely love for people to come to us because I'm really interested to see what people's feelings are on this, because I know I have mine and it could be completely different than what somebody else is looking for in this game.
I guess this would be a good point to just kind of like say thanks to everyone.
We've gotten a
pretty warm response with everyone so far in our first two podcasts, which we're kind of like, I guess we're kind of doing this at by the seat of our pants as we go along. I mean, Brooks and I have done a podcast in the past for fun, but
it never really garnered any response. So
yeah, and we really didn't push it, I guess, on that note too. So I'm really thanks to everyone for like all of the emails and the responses we've got through Twitter or the website or email or the message board.
Absolutely, like,
you know, we really want to create a community that we feel like everyone, when the game comes out, like everyone will be able to play together and somewhat know each other somehow or some way. And I mean, you can do that through the message boards. There's, the KOTOR official, or not KOTOR,
sweater,
the Old Republic Toro, whatever you want to call it, whatever acronym. You can actually do that on their message boards, I know. But at the same time, there's so many people, you might not have as close of a tight knit community. And so we're really hoping to create something like that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, like, you know, like a couple, like last week we shot up like right behind ToroCast on iTunes, and that was really exciting for me, you know, because we had our old show Frackin' Media, which was just us talking about like TV and news and TV and movies.
Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah, a lot of BS, like every week. Yeah, a lot of BSD talk. And, you know, again, like you said, you know, we didn't push it very hard and it didn't really garner that much of a response.
That's what she said.
Hey-o. But, so it means a lot to hear, you know, at least one person commenting, and you have to have 20 people vote on a poll. It could be completely anonymous. I don't care. That's some kind of feedback, and I think that's fantastic.
All right, everyone. We've been asking you for your Twitter questions a lot over the past couple weeks, so you sent them to us and we are going to discuss them. And first one comes from bmartin717. He asked, tanking classes, do you think they will have them in the game? And in addition, Sir Desmond says, coming from what we've seen, do you think they will require a standard party class structure or something new like Team Fortress 2? So what do you think?
You know, like we were talking earlier in the show about healing classes, you know, they said specifically that certain classes are going to be able to branch off into trees, maybe, I don't know, something along those lines, that would have healing, specified healing abilities. I think that's going to extend throughout all of the classes in the Old Republic. You know, everybody's going to be pretty versatile. You know, if you remember Knights of the Old Republic, pretty much everybody could do everything. There were a couple people who were more squishy than others. Mm-hmm. But on the whole, everybody could basically get into the fray and not get totally owned. So I see a similar kind of thing, you know, maybe for boss fights and stuff like that. There will be some more specified classes like the Trooper or some kind of other class that we haven't seen. You know, we have to remember that we basically only know 5 classes if you want to include Jedi and Sith. So,
well, I mean, each side is only going to have actually 4 classes from what we can tell.
Yeah, I know.
So,
but total, we know 5 at this point.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You mean between the both sides. But No, I kind of agree with you with what you're saying. I feel like if any class were going to be a tanking class or considered to be a tanking class, it would be a melee class or a class that would be involved with melee combat. So obviously, the Jedi comes to mind. And the Trooper is another. And like you were saying, I agree with you. The branch system is probably how it's going to work or be implemented in the game, just what I would speculate. An example of this is when you look at the Jedi, for example, it has 3 different fighting configurations. There's just pretty much the single blade Jedi or the Jedi that wields two individual lightsabers, or the Jedi that wields a double-bladed lightsaber. And it's kind of like, depending on which one of those paths you would take with the Jedi, your fighting style would be a lot different. So, for instance, if you were using a double-bladed lightsaber, they tend to describe that as being more offensive, versus where I would think of like a single-bladed Jedi would probably be more of a defensive Jedi. So I kind of feel like maybe you could choose your fighting style. I mean, this I'm once again just speculating, but it would be neat if they implement it where you could choose like your fighting style, you know, if you wanted to go single blade, two lightsabers, whatever. And like whatever you chose, that was kind of your role. But actually thinking about that, I don't know if I like that or not, because I think I'd like to just be a single, like be able to have one blade and not have to be forced into a tanking role, or like the guy that's in charge taking all the damage, just because I'm using a single bladed lightsaber and that's it.
Yeah, I think you said earlier on in your points, the fact that we only have 8 classes, 4 per side, and to specify a singular class as a tanking class doesn't really work. I think we talked about
like
this
we were
earlier.
Saying with the healer class. Yeah, I mean we've only got 4. At this point, if they were going to do that, the last two would be, you know, well, based upon what we've seen, the last two, one would have to be healing, one would have to be tanking, and I just don't see that happening.
There's no sense of game balance that way, and so I think it goes back to pretty much everybody being versatile, and maybe one or two classes, probably one per side or two per side, having some certain abilities that allow them to take more damage and be more productive in a group setting.
Well, and when you look at the original KOTOR games too, the game was not designed to where you would just want to have one character up front, like taking all the damage while everyone else was standing back dealing damage. They designed the game to flow well, and they're doing evolving this game to do this even more, to where it feels like it's just natural combat, to where so when one character gets into hand-to-hand combat with another character, it's like those two are really fighting each other. It's not, you don't want to have it feel like you're fighting 5 stormtroopers or Sith troopers or Mandalorian troopers or whatever you're going to call them, and you have to have one guy worried or his entire job is to have the gain the focus of all their attention while everyone else just sits back and shoots them the whole time. I really don't. I mean, that's not realistic in terms of like how things would play out in real life if it were to work out. So I don't see them putting a system like that in this game, just because in terms of storytelling, it doesn't seem realistic. Yeah. So,
and you got to consider the fact that they've also said that the combat in this game is going to be heroic, and you know they've got these 4 pillars that they're working on, and each one has to stand up on its own, and you know combat is one of those, and they're putting the strong emphasis on like action oriented combat, you know, this very heroic feeling kind of stuff, and nobody's going to want to stand there and just whack away at guys and go, hey, hit me, because that's not
fun. Hey, look,
that's not
look
fun.
At me, over here.
Yeah, that's not fun for anyone, and they know that, and they're taking that in consideration, so we don't have another WoW clone that's just, oh, we're going to go do a raid, we got to have people to get damage done to them. You know,
it's, hey, you want to come play with us? sure, you tank? No. Oh, goodbye.
Yeah, exactly. That's not any fun.
I don't want that.
That's not any fun. So we had 2 other questions that were also similar. Let's see, NPX Dino, I do believe, asked, how does the Old Republic look compared to the old KOTORs or other genre favorites like Mass Effect? And then Silver Raven asked, from the screenshots, the graphics look iffy. Is that just an early stage thing or are they only released in low res? So I know you and I have both been pretty impressed with the graphics thus far. So what are you thinking?
Well, I guess I don't know what exactly Silver Raven has looked at, but the most recent movie that we've seen, I was really impressed with how the graphics looked. One thing you're going to have to take into consideration, I expect this game to be very scalable, because first off, it being a PC game, they would be stupid not to make it scalable, because if you alienate a huge chunk of the PC market, which that would be people who own PCs that aren't gaming machines but would love to be involved in a game like this, you're going to cut off, you know, a huge chunk of income that could come in every month. And I just don't see them doing that. So
well,
I already have
They've said specifically that the game is going to be scalable across a number of systems, from low end to, like, you know, dual GTX 295s or whatever, you know.
Well, I mean, with that mindset, I come in looking at this game, or with that knowledge, I guess you would say, I come in with the mindset thinking that this game is going to look good, but it's not going to look like, you know, a bleeding edge single player RPG that you could play on a console or just even Mass Effect 2 graphics, because this is completely different. I mean, it's an MMO for one, and typically the rule of thumb with MMOs is it looks a generation behind in terms of graphics, and there's just a lot of reasoning for that, because not only does it have to render it on everything on your screen, but everything has to be rendered on everyone else's screen that's within the viewing distance of whatever action is being performed. But that being said, like, I'm really impressed. The graphics look a lot better than I anticipated them to look. Yeah. And comparing it to KOTOR 2, like I spoke on the last podcast, you know, that game looks really dated going back and looking at it. Like, I mean, I remember playing it the first time around and I thought it looked good 6 years ago, but looking at that and then looking at the movies for this one, I think this one is going to be head and shoulders above what the visuals looked like in KOTOR and KOTOR 2. So I guess that's my thoughts on that.
There's a couple things you have to keep in mind. First and foremost is the fact that the developers and the PR people have been throwing around this buzz phrase called stylized realism. So the closest thing that I can compare it to is if you've been watching the Clone Wars on Adult Swim, Cartoon Network, excuse me, the animated series, you know, that's like a very extreme form of what they're going for here. But, you know, you can tell that these are people, you can tell that they're aliens, whatever. But they've got this kind of like, je ne sais quoi about it. I don't really know how to explain it. They've got this kind of like,
they don't overemphasize detail on certain things while leave other things lacking in detail. Everything is very balanced.
That allows them to, you know, maybe use lower resolution textures that allow the game to run really well across a number of different systems.
Yeah.
And, you know, like we said, it's going to scale across every different kind of system. So on your higher end systems, it's going to look super sweet. I think it's going to have this really awesome animated kind of look to it. And on the low res systems, you're still going to be able to play and, you know, not lose kind of that effect and that feeling that they're going for that ties so much of the game world together.
Yeah, and like you were saying, scalability is what's most important here when designing this. I mean, they could make this to where it looked, you know, a lot better than what they're going to come out with, but at the same time, they would alienate a huge chunk of the PC audience. It's just not worth doing. And I don't even want that for gameplay purposes. You know, I don't want an MMO where so few people can play it and enjoy it that it makes it to where the servers are sparse. There's hardly anyone online or anything like that. So I would say if you're used to playing modern-day MMOs, the graphics will probably be on par with how modern-day MMOs are. I mean, I'd expect them to be better than that, but...
Yeah, the last thing that I think I want to add that you have to consider is if you're primarily a console player, you know, the thing about consoles is you've got locked hardware. So developers are making projects on a system that they know that they can push to this limit and they can make things look this good and no further, and they don't have to worry about scaling it less. So in the long run, you have to consider the fact that, you know, these are PC developers. They're trying to make things look good, but they also need to look good for a number of different people, as well as be able to run a number of different
systems. Some people probably play this on machines as old as 5 years. So we
want to continue doing this with the Twitter questions and leaving questions and comments and all that kind of stuff. We're going to be collecting those throughout the couple weeks before we record. I hope we can make this a permanent segment of the show where we specifically answer questions. You know, I enjoy that quite a bit. So give us feedback on the questions too. You know, we want to hear what you have to say about similar things in the comments or in the forums. So that's that. So So, with that, a couple things I want to mention before we close out the show. I know it's been maybe kind of shorter. I have no idea how long this is going to be once I edit it. But, again, the website, mosseisleyradio.com, if you haven't been there, check it out. You can follow the show on Twitter, which is at Mos Eisley Radio, or us individually are on the About section of our page. Leave us comments, because those are fantastic. Forums, Zach, you've done a lot of work, or some work there recently.
I wouldn't say a lot.
Some work. Maybe
some work.
You'll do more work in the future, I'm sure, as we get more posts and stuff like that. So there's a couple different forum sections on there now that we'd love to see you guys posting, and that would be fantastic. And I think the last thing I have is we are officially on the Zune store now. I think somebody like from
2 weeks later.
Yeah, somebody from Zune like commented back on one of our posts and was like, "You guys are now in the store." I'm like, "Sweet." So I will add a link to that on the site before the show goes out. So if you are one of the people who is a Zune
like
user, and dude, I saw the new Zune HD. It looks pretty sweet.
Yeah, I know. I'd really like to get one of those. It's actually kind of funny because I went out with a friend last night, and when I got back to my car, I didn't lock the doors, and I looked down and I saw my phone charger, but I was thinking it was like my charger for my Zune, and my Zune wasn't attached to it. And I was like, oh my gosh, someone stole my Zune. And then I realized, okay, no, I had my Zune like buried somewhere else. It'd fallen off. And so, but he was like, oh, well, that would have been just an excuse to go out and get a new Zune HD. And I was like, oh, I know, I totally want one.
Exactly, exactly. That's getting a lot of good feedback. You know, there's been like 6 billion Engadget posts about it, and they seem pretty excited.
Yeah.
So anyways, on that note, unless you have anything else to add, Zach.
Oh, actually, I was going to say the Zune thing, but you stole my thing.
Okay, sorry. So. Community creations. If you have like some kind of like art that you've done, or some kind of like audio like drama thing that you've done that you think we should put on the show for people to listen to or feature on the site, send it to us and we absolutely will.
Yeah, we would love to do that.
Yeah. So that's mosseisleyradio@gmail.com. Send us that stuff. Send us how terrible you think we are, although we hope you don't think we are. But anyways, with that, I think that's going to be a wrap on episode 3. So we will see you again in a couple of weeks. Take care.
Take it easy. Hold on. I gotta take off my pants.
Is that gonna help you, like, be a better host?
It'll help me be a better something, that's for sure.
Huh. How about that? Why are you watching Zero Punctuation?
What? I'm waiting on you.
I'm waiting on you.
Oh,
you're the one taking your pants off and watching
let's
Zero Punctuation.
Oh my gosh, iJustine is everywhere.
Back up your files with Mosey.
Thanks for the follow. You're about to learn how it's easy to be done. Thanks for following me. I'm cool.
And joining me all the way about 50, 60 miles north, who's listening to music, is Zach Brown.
Oops. It's the wrong button. Well, there we go. Let me close Zune so I don't accidentally hit that button again.
Yeah. How about you do that, douche?
Douche. Skadoosh. All right, I'm ready for real.
Skadoosh.